that, then let's go to time certain item 702.
Approve the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission fiscal year 2016-17 budget.
Good morning and welcome. Mary Beth, you're going to come too, or are you going to let your volunteers take the heat? Good morning. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Well, good morning, commissioners. I'm Sue Disciple. I'm one of the three commissioners who represents the City of Portland on the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission. You've seen me here before in this same capacity, but I'd like to introduce John Branham, who is your most recent appointee to the commission. I have to say your appointment was brilliant. John brings expertise in educational theory and early childhood education practice that no one else on our commission has. And as you know, we're engaged in a multi-year grant process to bring technology into schools in our franchise area. So it's just been fabulous having him. And I'm going to turn the mic over to him now to talk about our budget proposal and some of the programs that are contained within that.
Thank you, Sue, and thank you, Mr. Mayor and commissioners, for your time this morning and for your appointment. I've appreciated the opportunity. My name is John Branham, and I'm a citizen and a commissioner. Before I get started on my sort of formal remarks, and I hope you'll allow me to read through them, there are a number of them, I also want to take a minute to both thank staff for their outstanding work over the course of the year and helping to prepare us for today's presentation, and also to thank Mary Beth, whom you all know is on the cusp of leaving after more than two decades of service, and she's been an incredible leader. And so on behalf of all of the commissioners, I wanted to just publicly thank her for her service. So as Sue mentioned, and thank you, Sue, for your kind comments, so I'm here to highlight a couple of the many MHCRC activities over the past year, and we'll then be handing the mic off to Sue, and we are here to seek your approval of the MHCRC fiscal year 2016-17 budget. I believe you have both our annual activity report, I can see you reading through that now, and your proposed budget. So as a reminder, the Mount Hood Cable and Regulatory Commission is an intergovernmental partnership among Gresham, Fairview, Portland, Troutdale, Wood Village, and Multnomah County. Each one of these jurisdictions appoints citizen representatives to the commission. The MHCRC has oversight, enforcement, and public benefit responsibilities for the cable services franchises within the cities and the county. Portland currently has two cable service franchises, including Comcast and CenturyLink. Over the past year, the MHCRC has provided many services to our communities and residents, and so I wanted to highlight just a few of those that stand out for us. The first is that MHCRC continues its work with public school districts under the Tech Smart Initiative for student success, and most notably, Portland Public Schools received a $5 million grant that focuses on improving kindergarten through third grade reading. Additionally, we've given $1.3 million grant to Reynolds that targets the sixth through ninth grade math. About 151 classroom teachers in four school districts are now supported by resources provided under the TechSmart initiative. So it's quite significant. The MHCRC launched the TechSmart initiative with plans to invest a total of $19 million by 2021, and we're a little over $9 million into that investment. The Community Technology Competitive Grant Round funded 12 new grants with community organizations here in our backyard. These grants leveraged over $1.6 million in matching resources. Like many others, MHCRC Community Grants is supporting access to opportunity in the Rockwood neighborhood. Rockwood Library, Friends of the Children, and Open School East have all been grant recipients. Affordable broadband has become a more and more critical component to our public institutions, as you all know well. The MHCRC is leading a long-term network planning effort in partnership with Portland's Bureau of Technology Services and 19 public agencies within the county, Multnomah County. The current institutional network provides high-speed broadband connectivity to 295 schools, libraries, and public agencies throughout Multnomah County. The MHCRC provided funding and franchise enforcement support to Portland Community Media. This past year, PCM produced nearly 3,000 hours of original local programming and have trained 500 residents in digital media and literacy skills, which are also critical in today's world. The MHCRC addressed consumer protection issues both broadly and within individual subscribers. For example, MHCRC worked with cable companies on issues related to clear information on subscribers' bills, service line extensions, phone answering standards, and service fees. And finally, MHCRC assisted in the resolution of 330 complaints from cable TV subscribers. I'll turn it over to Sue.
Great, thanks. So, on to the budget. So I'm happy to report that once again, we've at the MHCRC received a clean audit for our FY14-15 year. And that full audit document is available on our website. Just a couple of trends I wanted to note. If you look at page 9 on your annual report for the MHCRC, you'll see two graphs that illustrate some trends. So you'll see that the number of cable subscribers grew consistently from 2006 to 2012. However, since then, the subscriber numbers have been declining. In spite of the decline, the franchise fee revenue have consistently increased, beginning to flatten only in the last couple of years. This is primarily due to the cable companies raising rates, which, as you know, we have no regulatory authority over, and also offering more services for sale and more program packages. So we are closely watching those trends. We understand they have possible future implications for both our franchise fee revenues and for the revenues that support our community programs and community grants. So we'll be watching that. Coming up in FY16-17, we're engaged in a future-focused planning effort, considering evolving public policy, which we got to see a large, an important evolutionary step at the FCC just this past week, and also evolving technology in our community's increasing reliance on broadband. We're engaged in some planning to take a look at the next generation needs for our communities. We're looking forward to working with you and your staff and the communities throughout our jurisdictions on that future-focused planning. And there is funds to support that effort in the budget. So more specifically, on that FY16-17 budget proposal, the annual budget allocation for all the jurisdictions collectively funds about half of MHCRC's total budget. So another way to view it, another way to slice that, is that each jurisdiction spends about 5% of its cable franchise fee on regulation and administration services. The remaining portion of the budget is funded by other MHCRC resources, mostly through the dedicated capital revenues. We have an administrative portion of that that funds MHCRC and related programs such as our community grants, INET, and Portland Community Media. So Portland's allocation for FY16-17 is $288,330. This amount includes the 5% reduction requested by the mayor early in the budget process. I also want to note that although on paper it looks like the commission has a large beginning fund balance of nearly $6 million, that's due to contingencies, but mostly carryover and encumbrances from the community grants. So in other words, grants that were were approved in prior years, but the money has not been spent fully on those programs. So that's carryover funds.
So can I interrupt you there, though?
Yes.
Obviously, there's a large ending fund balance proposed for this year as well. So is that for the same reason?
It's for the same reason. It's rolling. As we make new grants, then the money is not all expended in the year it's granted. So before closing, I'd like to thank the Mayor and Council for supporting this countywide partnership since 1993. And I would also like to point out that Mary Beth has been with us the whole time, 31 years of service to the city, 25 years with MHCRC. So thank you, Mary Beth, for your support to us and your service. And I'd just like to thank you for your time today. Please contact us if you have any questions, of course. And in closing, we respectfully request that the Portland City Council approve the fiscal year 16-17 MHCRC fund budget.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Questions?
Why does the budget go down about $5 million from this year to next year?
I'm going to turn that over to Mary Beth or to Julie Omelchuk.
Well, the large amount of money are the PEG capital funds, and we did just make a grant to Portland Public Schools for $5 million, and so it's really related to the issue that Sue talked about in terms of the rolling capital funding. So these grants are typically 3 years, and they may expend their full amount in the first year, or it may be allocated out over 3 years. It just depends on the nature of the grant itself and the expenditures.
That's all entirely due to the beginning and ending fund balance. Okay, thank you. And how do you decide which school districts get how much, and how can we be sure that it's an equitable distribution?
I think that's an excellent question for Julie Omelchuk to respond to.
Okay, she's here.
I like to give my staff opportunity.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, with her retirement, we're getting a little bit too much opportunity, maybe. Close up. So the TechSmart Initiative funding, what the commission did is set aside about two-thirds of its community grants funding for the initiative. And we have a relatively complicated formula, but about half of the money is allocated to the districts based on student population, and about half of the grants are based on particular what we would call underserved or at-risk populations. And so there's kind of a weighted funding allocation method. And the commission made a decision early on only to grant funds that we already have in the bank, so to speak, that we've brought in, so that we don't run into a situation where if the cable revenues decline at some point, that we've overcommitted our grants. And so that's one of the reasons that we have a large beginning and end balance, is because we only grant those funds that we have in the bank going forward.
Okay, thank you. Next year, when you're still here, I hope, it would
yes,
be helpful
I hope
to have
be.
That called out in the report. And
okay.
We do geographic mapping in the city for our funding, so just to see visually as well as really more detail. And actually, it would have been helpful to have gotten the report before today. So next year, I'd like to have more information, because just for folks at home, this Citizen Commission is in charge of distributing $19 million this year. And we get to say, yes, thank you, but it's really your decisions on how it gets spent. And, of course, you spend it wisely, so I appreciate that. If there are other people who would like to be involved in allocating $19 million or even $14 million this coming year, they should contact NEOSIT Cable Communications and Franchise Management, the Office for Community Technology. Thank you. Thank you for your work. I really appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And one thing I would like to point out is that those monies they are encumbered per the franchise. I mean, they are dedicated to these kinds of community technology grants that have a tie to some part of the cable system. So just so that folks know, we are spending this money within a circumscribed set of activities that are dictated by the franchise. We make the best of them, I think, but they are tethered funds, so to speak.
Other questions?
I have actually not a budget question, but an authority question. And I'm afraid I can probably guess the answer, but I had an experience not with a cable provider, but with DirecTV, but I imagine they all use the same marketing practices where they give you certain services for free when you sign up, and then they start billing you for those services a few months later without telling you you're about to be billed. And then when you call up and say, wait a minute, I didn't ask for this, they say, well, you needed to call up and opt out, and you're not getting your money back. And I was wondering, A, is that the kind of practice that the cable companies engage in as well as the satellite companies? And B, is that the kind of thing that we'd have, you know, that you'd have any authority over? Or does that fall into sort of rate regulation, which you can't?
Yeah, our authority over the cable companies really stems from the right-of-way. And the satellite companies are using the airwaves over which local governments have no authority. And whether cable companies engaged in that kind of behavior, if they did, their option is we can come to bat for them and resolve their issues. That's what we do. That's our consumer protection arm of the work we do. Satellite, we have no authority.
But, I mean, could you outlaw that kind of practice and just say it is illegal to bill somebody for a service that they haven't expressly said they want to buy?
That would be something that we would want to take up at the Oregon legislature. Satellite can be...
No, I mean for cable. I assume that all of these companies engage in the same kind of practices. I could be wrong. Maybe, you know, Comcast is pure as the driven snow. But I wonder, for cable purposes, could we say it is illegal to bill somebody for a service they did not agree to buy?
Yeah, in fact, the city of Portland has customer service standards in our city code, and we could look at the possibility of amending that code locally to make that practice illegal.
Right, great. So we would have that authority.
Well, I'd want to investigate it, but we definitely have the consumer protection is in our code already on cable.
Okay. Well, I'm delighted to hear that. So I hope we can work on that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your service, and we will miss you so much.
Thank you.
Can I jump in for a sec? And it sounds like DirecTV will rue the day that they offered a city commissioner free service with an opt-out. I guess this is for John, who is our designee going forward. One of the parts of the report that I think is one of the most interesting parts and probably the least developed in terms of text is on page 2, the consumer protection section. And one thing that I would urge you to consider going forward is you're documenting that there were 330 complaints that were brought. As the reader of this, I don't know whether that's a big number or a small number. And I also don't know whether there's some recurring problems that are going to require our intervention or larger attention. But the fact that they were all resolved, I think, is laudable. So that's your credential, that they were resolved. But I'd appreciate some more information apropos of what Steve just raised. What kinds of consumer complaints? Are there patterns? Are there emerging things? Can we, for example, determine that certain classes of subscribers are being targeted? Is that a concern? How are they being resolved? And are there any larger takeaways? So you don't want this report to be, you know, 10 pages. I'm not suggesting you add a 10-page annex, but addendum. But that's an area that I think we'd probably be interested in knowing a little bit more about.
Yeah. Commissioner, we have a nifty little table that illustrates exactly what they are, where the complaints come in. We aggregate them according to the nature of the complaint. So we have good data on that, and I think that's a great observation. We could easily provide that to you now, but also can remember that for next year's annual report.
Yeah, I'd be interested because we're also we're elected officials, but we're probably all consumers of one kind or another, mm-hmm. and have from time to time had our own frustrations. So to know what's the community experiencing, mm-hmm. and does it ever rise to the level of a concern where we may want to go to Salem or raise our voice? But
great.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Other questions, issues to raise here with our commissioners and our not yet departed staff? Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
So let's see who wants to speak on this item, please.
We have three people signed up: Mary Eng, Charles Johnson, and artist Laura Vanderlyn.
Okay. Come on up.
Okay. Hi, Council. I'm here to speak on Measure 702, which is at time certain 9:45, to approve the Mount Hood Cable Regulatory Commission. For the fiscal year 2016-2017 budget, the ordinance introduced by Mayor Hales, 10 minutes requested. You know I'm a little bit of a techie. I'm not as smart as my little brother, but I just love this lecture for its educational value. So many of the programs sound so exciting for young people, the Tech Smart program, the billing practices. I really like the inquiry on consumer protection and bad behavior. I caught a really great C-SPAN on the cable box rental fees and how the Senate committee or somebody, House committee, was saying, well, we're actually being scammed. You're eventually paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars for this cable box that you could have just gone out and bought one. Things like that. So I'm all for consumer safety. And I think drawing attention to the fact of the digital divide and how communities that are suffering rural poverty type issues, or even some of the more outer regions of the Portland community, can really benefit from these kinds of programs. I do, however, want to throw out a different way of looking at the program, the approach. I had proposed to the Multnomah commissioners that they needed to move into the tents and let the humans move into the buildings and then approach their government through tents and see how effective they'd be. And you might say that $288,330 might be better spent buying some kind of warmer blanket for the homeless. And I'm not trying to be the devil's advocate, because I don't think the homeless are the devil. But as you can imagine, this kind of a blanket is not very warm. But it does look a little bit like a tinfoil hat for a tech generation. I mean, it's kind of glam rock, kind of Andy Warhol. But I want you to start thinking about how we can maximize our technology, but also maximize the public good, and not have a humanitarian crisis side by side with what is a tech explosion. And I'm excited about this. I'm excited about underserved communities, about broadband strength. I want us up to the level of Japan or Sweden in terms of our technology. And these people who spoke here were obviously so educated, so well-spoken, and so dedicated to their field that I do want to defer to their experience. But I want you to think about the larger holistic human perspective. And I brought you all a blanket. And somebody can have this used one if you would like it, Council.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. I am artist Laura Vanderlyn, and I yield my time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. Charles Johnson, for the record. I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for looking kind of deeply at the spreadsheet. Unfortunately, as mentioned in my earlier testimony, the way the procedures work here, the materials that you get aren't directly linked for the PDF that we get. We get a simple one that shows, I think, what Amanda Fritz was talking about, that the current year is $19 million, and then the future year will be $14 million. And I think it was sort of touched upon that that's largely related to also the effect on the beginning of fund balance. One of the presenters mentioned that some people take concern that at 1 year there's a beginning fund balance of $12 million and the budget for the following year is for $6.7 million. And, you know, one of the reasons we have public testimony is sort of a testing process, subjecting things to scrutiny so that not only the staff of the city but the people in the community have an opportunity to do that. And I think that that would be enhanced. It's not that difficult to go over to MHCRC, the website for the community, for the Cable Regulatory Commission, but I think that even though last week we talked somewhat about the workload for the clerk and preparing the agenda, as we look to be a leading destination for business and promote the kind of Silicon Forest brand idea, to have better electronic document integration so that everything that's circulated among the commissioners and is viewable up there, there are easy links available for the public that's watching along. So I do think that that's, when you see any budget item change by between 40% and 50%, I do think that really the public is entitled to specific breakout comment notes that talk about that. I'm not concerned that there's any kind of fraud or anything. I just think that those are the things that are going to attract the most public attention. And if they're broken out with notes, which they probably are for y'all and your more extensive presentation, the public communication can be more efficient and focus on real things. Like, we've had this whole presentation without talking about how the process is going, whether Google Fiber is going to become a competitor in this market, and whether their franchise agreement is going to affect the budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Good points. Appreciate that. Ms. Ng, if you just give those to Ms. Moore Love, we'll make sure she gets them to us. Thank you very much. Anyone else want to speak on this item? It's an emergency ordinance, so let's take a vote, please.
Fish.
Well, thank you for an excellent presentation. Thank you, Mary Beth Henry, and your staff. Thank you to our commissioners. You know, there's a lot of great information in the report that we got, and one that sort of stood out for me was on the Community Technology Grant Awards. And there's a lot to like in how this money was distributed. But there was about $54,000 for the Scanner Foundation to support a video project to capture the history of Vanport survivors. In the last year, there's been two events, several public events, but two that I've had a chance to go to, where survivors have had their stories captured on video or oral. And it seems like the community now has embraced Vanport as a chapter in our history that has not gotten enough attention in the past. And it looks like there'll be an annual event where people will come together and talk about the meaning of Vanport. And I think that's exactly what a grant like this, we talk about leverage. This grant leveraged other funding, but what it's also sparked is community-wide interest in a very important piece of our history. And so you can't get any better than that. So thank you for your good work. Thanks to our commissioners for their service. And I'm pleased to accept your budget and your report. Aye.
Saltzman.
Thank you for your presentation. The Community Technology Grant Program is really, really impressive, and it's really doing great things in our community. So thank you for overseeing that, and thank you, Mary Beth Henry, for all your service, too. Aye.
Novick.
I think that if you did a poll and asked people about the top 10 things they're mad about, the cable companies would probably be in the list for most people. So although I wish that we had more authority, for example, over rates, I'm very proud that we have an energetic, thoughtful, aggressive organization helping consumers engaged in digital equity, engaged in student success. So thank you all very, very much. And I'm honored to have an opportunity to accept the report and to approve the budget. Aye.
I really love my cable service. I think it's the hard part for me is figuring out how to turn the TV on and get to the right station because it's so smart that I can't figure it out. Happily, I have help. Thank you very much to the Mount Hood Regulatory Commission, Cable Regulatory Commission, for all of your work. And this is excellent work. And as I said, I feel very comfortable giving the volunteers who have this authority my blessing and my approval of your budget. Thank you also to Mary Beth Henry for all of your service over the years. It's been an honor to work with you. Aye.
Ailes.
Well, it's been a good discussion and a good presentation. I appreciate it very much. There have been a lot of twists and turns in the technology world, and maybe more ahead, as Mr. Johnson alluded. And obviously the huge change in cable TV subscribers that you show in your report is another twist and turn. And through all that, this commission of volunteers and nationally known capable professional staff have kept the eye on the big picture, which is, why do we do this? Why do we regulate this? Why do we extract fees? It's to make sure that this franchise that we give to private companies to use our right-of-way operates in the public interest. And so your job, as you show in this budget, is to try to make that public interest specific and real with how we spend the money. And you're mostly spending the money giving people access to information who otherwise wouldn't have it, and kids access to educational opportunities that they wouldn't otherwise have. And if that isn't the public interest, I don't know what is. So great work. Thank you very much. Aye. Okay, let's move on.